Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Two girls, one mic. My name is Farah Soldro, and I am lucky to be guest co-hosting a selection of new episodes for The Modern Women with the always delightful Natalie Drenovac. Consider this series a series of conversations, tales, snippets, raw records featuring anonymous voices touching on things like dating, relationships, motherhood, fatherhood, sex, menopause, healing, our bodies, more sex. Then there's a deeper dive into a special episode with Natalie's brain guy. It's exactly how the label reads. These conversations grew from sheer interest. It's how Natalie and I often talk about the world, how it unravels around us, the intrigue around everyday people, and when we often talk about behind closed doors when there's no one around. Consider these a glimpse of what our conversation would really be like, and you guys are along for the ride. However you consume it, there is plenty to enjoy, plenty to challenge and unravel and understand. Please welcome to a taste of Two Girls, One Mic.
Thank you so much for joining us for an anonymous episode about sex, love, relationships, pleasure. You never quite know where this might go.
Everything in between.
Exactly. We're going to kick this off in a different way to than how we did back in the old seasons. We have three cards placed on the table and our wonderful guest is going to select one of them and then we're going to all answer the question.
The suspense.
Sex is most interesting for me when... Mr. Burrell, this is too much.
Shall we come back to you? Farah.
Yeah, Farah, next.
Sex is most interesting for me when... It's not always about me.
Because as in you're a giver?
Yeah.
Okay. Sex is most interesting for me when there's intimacy and pleasure and intellect. I have a... I was going to say a thesis. It's not a thesis.
It's a thesis, everyone.
I have a saying, which is I don't have sex with anyone I don't want to go to brunch with. Because if I can't have a conversation with you, chances are I'm probably not going to get turned on by you. And so the idea being, we don't have to go to brunch, but as in like, I would hope that we would be able to have a good conversation and also have great sex. Do you have an answer for us?
Agreed. Look, foreplay... is very underrated, not enough of it. So for me, the intellect has to be there, but definitely foreplay has to start well and truly before we've walked through that door.
I like that.
So dinner, drinks, all of that.
Oh, banter. Not just sexual foreplay, but like...
Like all of the above before we even enter the bedroom is definitely.
Yeah, okay. I like that.
It's the only thing that will get me wired up. Personally.
So you say it doesn't start often enough for you?
No.
Why do you think that is?
Everyone's always in a rush. What's the rush?
Yeah, okay.
As in like dates you're going on, people are in a rush?
Yeah.
As in because they just want to get to the bedroom?
Yeah.
Or? Okay.
What's the rush?
Do you think that means you're kind of picking the wrong kind of guys?
Definitely.
I feel like that really sets us up because one thing I wanted to establish is that here we are, three women sitting around talking about sex, love, dating, relationships, and we all have had such a different trajectory as to getting to, you know, this seat at the table. So, for example, Farah, do you want to give a bit of your background so we can establish where we're all at?
establish why I'm here talking about dating. I would say I'm like the least dating know-it-all when it comes to, like, to that sort of space, because I mean, I came out of a long-term relationship, 10 plus years.
And he was 16 years older.
Yeah, he was 16 years older than me. And thank you. But I think I thought that was my kind of forever relationship. And obviously a lot had evolved in that relationship, no longer in that relationship. And then kind of re-entered dating world, not knowing how that was going to look. Like, I think my first question to my friends was, so how do you meet people now when you're by yourself in an apartment after a 10-year relationship? You've always been intertwined. My friends were like, apps.
I was well. Like,
right, okay. So, I mean, that was like one trajectory. I'm now in a completely different relationship, very unexpectedly, but very...
Through an app?
No, not through an app.
Okay.
Yeah, I asked the universe for some things and it gave me certain things that I wasn't expecting in certain ways. I'm now in a relationship with someone that I, yeah, that is actually Sydney-based now, but for a couple of years we were dating long distance, which I never thought I would do. I would be like, Farah, do not recommend that. Do
she
not.
Never had communication with her ex, and then all she had was communication with her new partner.
Yeah, I went, I want someone who can communicate, and the universe went, here he is. Except you will only have communication and it will have to be strong because you're going to have to figure out a long distance situation. So yeah, here we are. Two
different country or different state?
Different countries. Oof. Yeah.
From the UK to Australia, far found thousands. True love.
So obviously he's here now.
Yeah, he's here now and we're navigating that. But unexpectedly fell into this relationship. We both, the communication had to be strong and... Yeah, I never had to kind of go into the dating app world. And so that is such an unknown territory for me.
Oh, we're going to get there. Can you establish your dating history, love profile? How long we got? If you could do a minute sharp.
Like a quick fire.
Right. Two boyfriends, like serious boyfriends, both about three and a half years each, and then had a very long break of 8 years. Met someone with children, said I didn't want to meet anyone with children, gave it a crack, didn't work out. He got cold feet. He had the baggage, but he got cold feet. So I stepped away from it. Well, I had no choice really. And then met this imbecile who proceeded to wanting to destroy me because he didn't get his way. So anyway, long story short, I'm blessed that I'm here doing this podcast, but my history of dating is not great. Shit magnet, to say the least. But hey, you know that universe thing you were just talking about? So for about 16 years, loads of people I've met in my career as well as friends and family have said, you really need to sit down and just write down what you really, really, really want, to the point of what he's wearing, what he smells like, who he hangs out with, all of that.
What, like in like a list?
A list. Like,
okay.
And it's worked for every single person that's done it. But I've been told this for about 15 years and I still haven't done it. So maybe it's about time.
I had a list and my ex-wife ticked all those and I think I left a few things off that might have been a bit more important.
Also, you did the list.
I had a list, yeah. But one thing I do want to quickly touch on, and one of the reasons I definitely wanted to have you as our guest on this podcast is not that age matters, but you do sit in this really interesting category for dating, which is a successful woman in her 40s who doesn't need a man to financially provide for her, has her own... just establish self and life. And I find that is
a problem.
Like it statistically is shown, and there are many articles about this fact of how a woman in her 40s who, for those reasons, it's harder to find men, which is something that I think I'm having more of a conversation with because a lot of my friends are older women in their 40s who don't need men but want men. And there's like this weird, I don't know, this like weird moment where it just doesn't fit. It doesn't fit in the same way. Not to say that all women who are in a relationship need men, etc. That's not what we're saying here, but it is interesting. And I think that's something that you come up against often.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, but They feel, I don't know, they feel inferior to us because we've got everything we want. So what are they adding or adding as value to the relationship? Well, that's the whole point. You come in as you are and you give what you can, and that's how we unite. You don't have to be better or less than or earn more, or it's just... But I really think that you need to find somebody at your level, because if you don't, there's this constant tug of war of wanting to be better than the other person. I've found that
a
little bit.
That's your experience for sure.
That's my experience, yeah. And it's this constant battle of who earns more and who has what and who, very unattractive.
Yeah. My quick establishment, well, I'm 33. I haven't been single for 7 years. I am divorced happily. And I am navigating the intriguing world about dating, because I think this launches into dating apps. I was pressured by a friend to get on a dating app.
It was not me.
I survived 24 hours. It was tragic. I felt like it's like a gambling machine where you're like a pinball? Poker machine. Where it's like a ding, 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 like as you're just sliding through people.
It's just relentless.
Yeah, it was relentless. You're like commoditizing women. It was not my thing. I could not handle it. I deleted it, etc. Which goes into, I know you've been on dating apps. So how are you finding that experience? Because you're much more, you've experienced that a lot more. Whereas like Far and I'm like, how do people just go out anymore? Can't we just go out and like have a conversation?
I'll be honest to say dating's fun for me. I like it. I enjoy it.
Yeah, see, I don't feel that way.
I really enjoy it. I like dressing up. I like meeting a new person. I like getting to know them. Look, a lot of idiots out there, a lot of people. Like, I can tell you the amount of times I've paid for my own meal and then his. I could tell you so many stories. I had a guy drop me home after a date. This is really funny. A former polo player, anyway, professional polo player, and he dropped me off. This is so vivid in my mind, and all my friends talk about this, male friends talk about this to each other, and he dropped me off. I was sitting in the car, and he goes, "Hey, do you have any hobbies?" And I said, "No, not really. I played sport back at school. I was a great sprinter, and then I kind of left everything at school. I never did any exercise since." Puts his hand on my lap, jiggles my lap and goes, "Yeah, I think it's about time you take some sport." I just went, whoa. Second date, kissed him on the cheek. Hate making a scene. Don't like making anyone feel comfortable.
I can't believe such you a got people a kiss pleaser. On the cheek.
Yeah, such a people pleaser.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And then that was it. I said goodnight. And I freaking went on a third date. Who does that?
Why would you do that to yourself?
I was just keen to see if he was not continuing going to be a douchebag.
You were like, was this just like a moment where he had a brain moment and he was like, also, that is the weirdest thing. That is such
Shakes a woman's leg and goes, "Yeah, I think you should start exercising."
Okay, wow. I don't really know how you went on that third date. But
I can't believe you went on a third date.
But yeah. So this is the problem, right?
Do you think, so one of your challenges... Do you feel like your standards are perhaps not in the right area?
Definitely. It would have to be. Like, but I don't understand. I've never had a life of never being good enough for somebody else. You know, I never grown up to be put down or to say I'm never good enough or anything like that. I've had a great upbringing, and especially being the youngest of many siblings and having older brother-in-laws who were married 15 years apart in age. So big age gap with my siblings and their husbands. So for me, when you just said 16, I was just like, I love that. That's what I was expecting for me. But it never went down that path. But like, I've had such great examples of men in my life, which astounds me that I put up with that, because I've never been subjected to seeing any of that kind of thing. But going back to apps, I actually don't enjoy going on there. Like, I just think there's a whole heap of rubbish. But you hear of great stories of, I met my husband on there, or, you know, this incredible guy. There's some horror stories, but there's also some really great stories.
I think that's, you know, really true to the human experience. It's like, we just need one positive story sometimes out of a situation.
And we'll latch onto it.
And the belief is there's hope. That's kind of the thinking of it. And I think you're right about the stories aspect of it. You know, like you end up, it becomes a laugh. It's a story. Oh my gosh, do you know who just messaged me? Or, oh my gosh, do you know who I just matched with? Or, you know, I've had friends who have matched with people that had, you know, previous coworkers, friends, ex-boyfriends have matched with them.
I actually found it, and one of the things I didn't really like was it's really quite exposing and you feel quite vulnerable when you're on there. And so it was this really interesting nuance of like, I'm not really one to get quite embarrassed or worried or anything like that, but it was this weird feeling of, because also like when you say no to people, I felt bad. Like when someone matches with you and then you're like, I'm not matching with you. And so you say no. I'm like, that is so brutal, mm-hmm. which of course takes away. I read a study and it was all about how if we only were in a room with 10 people, you would consider people a whole lot more. Whereas now, because we have 100 in one night, you kind of just swipe through. You're like, oh, wrong hair color. Oh, not tall enough. Oh, like simple things.
Face value.
But that's it. My friend would say, you just haven't been on the apps long enough if you feel bad. Like she would literally be like, if you just can't. You can't get invested every time you
but that's someone. What I mean. And see that within itself, I feel like breaks human connection. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of like, what are we missing? Like, where is there like a loose literature here that we need to actually get better at in actually dealing with people like human beings again?
But this goes back to what your field of work is also. If I was not in doing what I do for a living, I would have more exposure to meet men. But I'm in a female dominant industry whereby I only meet females. And if I don't go out, I will never meet somebody really, you know. And then so the choice of having an app is there, not that I use it. So, and by the way, my ex barred me from the app. So I'm no longer allowed to date apparently.
Okay, so I have a question because we keep going around the why are we dating. So why are you dating?
I actually really want to find somebody that I can share my life with. Like I have an amazing friendship group. I have an amazing family network. I just need that partner in crime where I can just come home and vent to or share certain likes and go out to dinners. And it doesn't need to be glued to the hip, but just that I've never had that. So for me, being in my 40s, to have that would be nice. Mm. To never live with a guy and never play house. I mean,
you've never lived with a partner?
No, never.
Wow.
That in itself is going to be such a wild experience.
Mm. Because I'm so set in my ways now, right? So that becomes another issue.
And are you actually ready to let someone in? Truly, because having not lived with someone like you just said, and also being so set in your ways.
It's
a negotiation,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. It'll be challenging. I have no doubt.
So how do you know that you were ready to be in a committed relationship? And the same for you. You came out of a 10-year relationship and then, yes, you did have 2 years of COVID, et cetera. But what was it that prompted you both to go, yeah, like I want to be in the relationship, and you took the leap and plunged right into it?
I think for me now more than ever is I just lost two most important things in my life, and I'm about to lose my third. So there's three things in my life that I lean on to for emotional support and emotional connection. I've lost two. I've got one to go and he's not far off. So when I was speaking to my therapist, getting me through all of this at the moment, she said to me, can you look at it like this in a way that I know you're so saddened by your loss and it breaks you, but there's a reason they're leaving you so you're not so codependent emotionally and you can let something else in.
Wow.
So when I looked at it like that, I just went, that breaks my heart, but I get it. Because I emotionally rely on those three things to keep me fulfilled, and I don't let anyone else in because I don't need to.
I do think something that you've touched on is really important, the idea of therapy before dating.
So vital, so vital. I actually had only started therapy during my breakup. Thank you, Natalie. So I went and saw a therapist because I mean, anyone who knows me is, you know, I'm pretty... I'm pretty who I am. I mean, that's probably the best way to describe me. Like I have no qualms talking about how I'm feeling. I feel really open. I really steer away from drama. I'm a giver. I like to make sure everyone else is comfortable. That is just in my nature. Some people look at that and think, oh, you give too much. And I'm like, that's just who I am. So that's, you know, by the by. So going back to your original question, I mean, for me, I did not think I was ready. I think I came out of the relationship being like, I'm not ready because I've come out of a relationship. And instead of that sort of thinking, what it was I'm not ready to be with that person because that person is not for me, but I am so ready to be in a relationship with someone that respects me and sees me for me and that wants the same things as me. I think that's what it was. It wasn't that I wasn't ready. I think I was ready, but it was just a case of I was fighting being ready. And it was hilarious. You know, you have someone who's like trying to make contact with you and talk to you and be open with you. And I'm like trying to be open right back. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh no, I can't share that part of me anymore. You've had enough, like vault up kind of moment. And I'm very much like that as well. Like I will give you everything, but the minute I'm a bit afraid, it's like I have this wall. And yeah, I have had to unlearn certain behaviors from my previous relationship so that I can be ready to be my best self in my next relationship. Thank you, therapy.
That leads me on to...
Hey, we can't... What about you?
What was the question?
Well...
Therapy.
Yeah. let's go therapy and then straight into... Do you think you're ready to be dating?
I mean, everybody who knows me knows I'm a huge proponent of therapy in so many different modalities. I think I am now. I know for sure that like my divorce wasn't a simple one. I think most people will agree with that who know and understand the story. It certainly came as a bit of a sideswipe and a shock. But I think I spent the time to heal, grieve, deal, understand. Like I remember one of the biggest things that happened for me, which is something I now incorporate with relationships, is a week before my separation began, I stumbled across a Mark Manson article that talks about boundaries and about how to set healthy relationship boundaries with your partner. And as I was reading it, I was like, wait, what? You're allowed to say no and it's okay and you don't have to feel like a bad person. And like I have sent this article now to a million people because I just didn't know. And this is also part of the reason of, like, let's say the unwinding of my marriage, but like I didn't know I was allowed to say no and it wouldn't become my responsibility. I think that part of the reason, like I was a bit of a thermometer in my relationship of like, oh, it was a bit cold, so you'd warm it up, or it's a bit hot, so you'd cool it down. And like, that was something you used to always tell me, Farah, like, are you taking care of yourself? And I was like, well, I can't really when I'm taking care of these several situations that I'm dealing with other people's emotions.
And being everything for everyone is sometimes really difficult because then you're not really there for yourself and you don't even notice that.
Yeah. And I definitely think like when I look back, there is, there's a huge, huge learning and growth. And then the reason of being ready now is like I've had a relationship since my marriage and it was wonderful and beautiful and it gave me what I needed to move on and heal in those components. And it was really nourishing and I'm so grateful. Whereas now, because, you know, they're just also life circumstances. And I think that's the other thing. Sometimes you meet someone and you're riding different waves in life. You're at different stages and we were just at completely different stages of our lives. And it was just never going to work. Like, that's it. The puzzle pieces was never going to fit together. But I'm so grateful for what it was. Whereas now I'm like, oh, okay, I get what I'm kind of after. I feel really good. And I believe I shared with you that I'm so ready to date because I'm happy in my life. And there isn't a gap. But similar to what you're saying in that I go, wow, yeah, like I'm doing really cool stuff. I'd love to share that with someone. Mm-hmm. I've got all these really great things. I'd love to be able to be like, hey, and have that person that you're calling and sharing with. Because friends are amazing. But there is also that level of intimacy, which is so beautiful.
Yeah.
When you have that person. And I think that's really like, it's just a lovely feeling.
And it's just those like little things. It's like the things that you don't necessarily call up your friends and family to tell them what happened. But it's super important to share in those moments with
your partner. It's a different kind of love. You get a different kind of love from all like different, like your friends give you a different kind of love. Your parents give you a different kind of love. And I think because I don't have any parents anymore, I don't have my parents. I don't have that love. And I think a partner almost substitutes that love in a way.
Mm.
I could be making that up since I haven't had that love, but I'm guessing it'd be similar to that, where you're nurtured, you're cared for, and you're just, you know, they accept you for who you are. And,
yeah,
you know, but that's when you need to, I guess, meet the right one, because not everyone's going to give you that. I've certainly been through my roller coaster of relationships, and I haven't had that.
I agree. And I feel like I'm at this point where it's like, oh, I want to create something with someone. And I don't mean that in terms of sitting down making house. I mean just like creating memories. And, you know, one of the interesting things for me is like I feel like 33 is still quite young. And I'm going, let's say I've gone on these dates and here I am, or I'm even on these apps and I'm 33 and you're meeting these people and I've already had the divorce. I've already had like a huge, I don't know what word we want to use here, but the idea is like I'm meeting these people who haven't had that experience. You know, I had the house, the nice things, all the stuff that's on those memes that we should tick off by a certain age. I had that and it's like, oh, I had that and I felt empty. So what is it I was missing? What, you know, learning growth, we can, that's a whole other topic. But like I'm meeting these people who haven't had those experiences. So I'm kind of looking at someone and I'm like, I don't need you to complete me. I just like, let's, can we like, and people are like, oh, we don't make sense in a year. And I'm like, let's see if we enjoy tonight and like we have another good conversation tomorrow. And I feel like I don't need to rush as fast anymore because it's kind of like, well, people have their stuff and how are we going to work through this together?
And you're also navigating, you know, just because you're ready doesn't mean the person that you're encountering or encountering is ready as well. And they might think they're ready and then and they aren't. And vice versa, they may think that they're not ready and they're actually more ready than they have ever been.
And dating also brings up all your insecurities that you thought you healed. Like there were things that would pop up and I'd be like, oh, okay, that's interesting. Let's take a look at that. And then, but I think it's like, are you willing to go through that or are we going to avoid it and run?
Yeah. And what have you learned about yourself in relationships? I mean, what is something that you've learned about yourself through dating that you kind of go, huh, I didn't know that about myself, or huh, that's something I definitely wouldn't have expected maybe.
I need to date more. I need to date more.
I think I need to date more. Sorry, boyfriend.
I need to date more because I need to. There's a lot of things that you do pick up on yourself that you just think, I don't know if I'd like that if I was, you know. But age puts a real damper on things. I know being in me being in my 40s, you know, there's that. The ticking time bomb of babies, and that's a whole different realm, kettle of fish, right? But at 43, it's not on my priority list anymore. Had you asked me that at 38, sure. But then you fall into the whole, does he have kids? Are you gonna be a great stepmom? What if he wants more children? What if I don't? Am I wasting time? Am I wasting his time? Am I wasting my time? Hell, you know, there's just so many aspects now you have to look at in your 40s that you didn't even bother thinking about in your 20s and 30s.
Dating someone with kids, though, is just an entirely different lifestyle choice.
Oof, yeah.
I feel like when I came out of my relationship, my first appointment was to go and see my gynecologist and discuss my reproductive cycle. So I'm 35 and I'm like, okay, just this is what I need to do now because I'm mid-30s and I have zero prospects and I will now go and do that. And I was actually at a point where I was like, if I am going to have a child, it'll be on my own. I don't need a man. I feel very lucky to have a great support network. I've got great – my friends will make great babysitters. This will be amazing. Like that's supportive.
I went through that.
But then, you know, having someone come into your life, and I remember having this conversation, and I said – I actually asked my partner, I said, if I had gone through with that process and then met you, how would you have reacted to that? Because it would have been such a different experience. He's like, I don't know because I wouldn't have – thought about dating someone with a child. So maybe that wouldn't have been in my peripherals, whereas you didn't have a child. So that's something that, you know, and that's what I mean. Like, what are some things, I mean, is there something that you've learned about yourself in the last 12 months? I know you say you want to date more, but like in the dates that you have been on or going on a third date, there must be something that.
What I learned about myself is not to rush into things. I think there's always a time frame. Like I rush into things. I'm all in or all out. And so even on a date, I'll throw myself into it and then get really bored really quickly.
So This goes into, there is like a thing recently where everybody, it's, I listened to a psychologist talk about this and how they go, secure now looks boring because people get involved in these like crazy, exciting, sexy relationships without realizing they also all burn and crash. Mm-hmm. And actually someone having just stability and security is actually the kind of relationship you're looking for. Mm-hmm. But because it doesn't have these fireworks, people are like, oh, this isn't the right thing. There's no spark. But you also aren't used to having a secure love.
Correct.
And that's the whole thing. You don't know what stability feels like in a proper relationship, which is why you haven't had that.
Exactly.
What do you think when it comes to like the spark, how does that like translate into dating apps? Like, what is a spark in the dating app realm? I'm asking the two of you.
Oh, my gosh. Good question. What's a spark? Like, okay, first and foremost, the
physical.
The physical, right? It's got to tick a few boxes that you're used to, that's appealing, that catches your eye, like hair color, eye color, the photo. But then again, you see these people in real life and they don't even look like their photo. I'm not sure what I was looking at, but I'm sure that there was a great photo in there, but you don't look like it. But and then some are astonishingly better looking in person than they are in their photos. I have to say for myself, I'm better in person than I am in my photos. And you'll always pick your best photo. But I'm sorry, men cannot take a photo to save themselves on these apps.
So a friend of mine, I was on her, I was like, show me what your options are here. And then she was telling me this story about how, has anybody ever noticed how a lot of men have photos of them with fish?
Animals, sure, but fish is specific.
The idea being that because a guy saying, hey, can you take a picture of me? Isn't really like a normal thing like women do. But when guys go out and they get like those, they catch the big fish, they can be like, hey man, can you take this shot of me? And so that's why guys always have these photos of them with their fish and catches.
Got it.
I was like, that's horrible.
But the lift shot, the selfie lift, the selfie in the lift and the selfie in the gym, no. For anyone listening, no.
So you don't like it?
Well, I mean,
they're putting their best foot forward. I think what the funnier thing is like when you go on
and shirt on, doesn't need to be off.
When you go on a first date with someone and you're like, I'm not sure, always remind yourself they are putting their best foot forward on that first date. And so if you're like 60% sure, probably not going to give another chance to that person. Like you would be your best self on a first date.
Yeah.
And so if people are always like, oh, I'm not sure about them, I'll give them another try. It's like, why? Follow that gut intuition.
But that's what I do every time.
But so this is a question I have for you. Do you find that you settle for less than you deserve in a relationship? And everybody has their own levels here of what they believe matters and is important to them.
Every time, like you were saying, people pleaser. Yes, loving, nurturing, heart on my sleeve, all of that stuff. And why should I change just to want to make somebody else see me in a different light? Like, and I feel like on dates you do that. I overtalk on a date. Like I'm just rant, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, just shush, just let him talk, just let him speak for a second.
So this is where I go with this. I'm like, you are who you are. You're eventually going to talk a lot in future versions of yourself at future meetings. Why not just be that in your first instance?
Well,
like,
I'm not that all the time. I actually like to mute at home.
And we're being judged on that first meeting, that totally. First time encounter. Exactly. Well,
I always love how people are like, oh, don't reply so quick. I go, we live in 2023. Everybody has their mobile phone on them. I was like, if I have my phone, I will reply. If someone wants to do 5 hours before they respond, okay, I'm not here to play games. I'm not here to give you trauma. I am not here to make you question yourself. Like, I'm just like, this is not where I'm at. So how do you think we can communicate our needs effectively without coming across as demanding or needy? Like, how have you done that? You got out of a really long relationship, got into quite a wonderful relationship. I'm a huge fan.
Thank you. Sign here and here. How have I navigated that? I was pretty transparent pretty early on. Like, I think I held a lot back in my last relationship and I'm like, that's not what I'm going to do in my next relationship. And I just went, the things that are important to me is I don't need someone to tell me what to do in my life, but I need someone who wants to share a life with me and is accepting of all of me. And I don't just mean like the good and the bad. I mean like my successes are our successes. Like I shouldn't have to feel bad if, you know, I'm here and you're here. Like we're here to lift each other up and not bring each other down, because we've created our own space. So that was something that was really important. And I ultimately want to have a family, and I was pretty open about that from the get-go, because that's just where my headspace is at. I've just had very open conversations very quickly. I've dated quickly in my 30s. In my 20s, it was like very leisurely pace, you know? We'll take dating and then... and also because I dated older guys, I was like, great, older men, they have their shit together.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but this is it. I was like, oh, they are... for some reason in my head as a 20-year-old, I was like, oh, they're more established.
Scar tissue, lots of scar tissue.
Yeah, but this is it. And so I think I, you know, dated my partner very quickly. Like what we have sort of achieved in our relationship together is something that maybe historically would have taken me 5 years, 10 years. But I feel like because I've sort of not demanded, maybe demanded, demanded just like open conversation. And he's also learning to do that as well. So we're both learning things as well about each other and our space.
Well, I got in trouble for saying that, for doing things like that. First date. And then I go, so do you, like, you, do you want to have more kids? And then my friends would be like, how could you ask that on the first date? And I'm like, well, why wouldn't I? You've got two kids. I don't have any. You've played house. I haven't. You've been married. I have not. Why won't I ask? Why can't I ask that? I think it's only fair. Otherwise, I'm wasting your time. I'm wasting my time. Oh, but you shouldn't ask things like that. You're going to scare them away. But
oh, yeah, the dating do's and don'ts.
Right?
Okay, what are your dating do's and don'ts that you've been told?
Don't tell them what you want on the first date. Don't talk about children. Don't talk about marriage.
Yeah, right. So definitely, don't listen to my advice then, because I would tell you to talk about anything you want to talk about.
So I've gone on two different dates, and one of them I spoke too much about my personal life. The feedback I got. But then the feedback. Second one, yeah, I did get the feedback.
The feedback. Is there like a form that comes with the dating process now?
I
Is there like
always
an app form?
Think that you should debrief on a date.
And then the second
How did it
one,
go?
And then the second one was, oh no, I want to know about all the stuff so I can understand you. And I was like, oh, this is more me. Like, this makes sense. Like, I'm like, let's get soulful real quick. How about this? What if something like Hinge had a review policy like Airbnb? You know, like, you like when someone leaves your house, you got to let them know if you let it nice, five-star review or not.
Yes. I wanted to do an app like that. And then I figured out apps are really, really hard to do. So yeah. I gave it up because I'm too busy.
Like a Google review system of your date?
Yes. Think about that. You would actually have to be a decent human being. This idea of ghosting someone, grow up.
Correct.
So, okay, going back.
Ratings.
Oh my God.
It's the way of the future. Debrief and ratings.
My mate. How do you tell if someone likes you? Like, what are the signs that
they reply straight away?
Oh my goodness.
Well, so it's as easy as that.
But what about people who, like yourself, haven't always had like great relationships, and so they actually don't know, like, it's a new feeling for them also. Like, to have someone who's like, hey, I really like you. Like, imagine you don't know what stability, secure love feels like, right? Mm-hmm. That's what you've said, not my words.
Yeah.
So here I am and I'm like, wow, I had such an amazing night with you last night. I'd love to see you again. Like, is there also not a part of you which would push back and be like, oh, this is too much?
And look, and the only reason why I would think that is because my previous one, recently, was the opposite to what I've had, where he was very much in my face. And because I'd never had that, I thought that this is nice. This is refreshing. This is cool. The love bombing, the flowers, the fancy cars and the restaurants. I was like, oh, he's making an effort. This is great. Only to know he's a narcissistic, sociopathic psycho. But you know, at that point in time, I was like, this is really nice to actually be valued and to be, you know, taken out and treated like a lady. And just, it was just beautiful. It was amazing. At first I was like, oh, this is a little bit much, but then I grew to like it. Unbeknown to me, I was meeting a narcissistic human being that was about to take me for a ride. But at the time, it actually felt good because I felt that security. I felt like that there was some positive takes from that for the future, and it wasn't just going. And the replies came strong, and the, you know, everything just happened really, really fast. But that not that's not necessarily positive. In this case, no.
So do you think you'd be a bit jaded?
Yeah. Look,
or have you been jaded like this entire time of dating? Have you been like,
no, I'm ready for the next one. I'm really, really open-minded. Look, I'm dealing with this still. There's an aftermath of this, but if I met somebody tomorrow, I wouldn't look at them in a different light because of my previous experiences. I'd give it a really red hot go and be really open to it.
You know, I really appreciate that, because I also think what's interesting is like, you might go on a date and then you might do one action and someone says to you, oh, well, my friend said that when people do that, here's where they're thinking. And I'm like, but you're not dealing with the actual person in front of you and who they are.
Mm. You're thinking about what that represents.
Yeah. Like someone's like, oh, well, you did this, so this is what it means. And it's like, that's not what it means, because I'm an entirely different human being.
And sometimes we're just trying to understand, like we spend so much time trying to understand what something means and like deciphering all the code around it, that we're actually just missing the point of everything that's happening around us in those sort of glimpses. Like, you know, going out on a date with someone and like what you just said, this idea of, oh, it was fresh, it was new, someone was like taking care of me and someone was being really lovely and open and communicative. I mean, that shouldn't be...
red flags.
Yeah.
That's like a normal human behavior that likes somebody.
Yeah, know? And it shouldn't be this anomaly of like, oh, I've dated 100 people, but two of those were just really lovely and open and communicative. Like, it should feel more relaxed. And maybe it's just the difference in personalities, and maybe it's like a myriad of where people are coming from. Like, I feel like we're all in a very similar space where we can go into whatever dating or, you know, relationship and not be super, like you said, jaded by the last one. Like, we have learnt things and we will try to be our best selves, but we still want to feel loved. We still, you know, we still want that appreciation. We're still going
to
give that.
Everyone wants to feel loved, yeah.
You know.
Now, let's also have the most important question. How soon is it too soon to have sex with someone
when you start dating? This has been so long. So long. We waited so long and I was like, Natalie's not even going to ask a sex question.
I thought I've gotten quiet. I thought we established a really good like foundation conversation. Now we can talk about sex.
Is there such thing as too soon?
I don't believe in that. I hate these rules that people put on, like, if you do this, you must then be a hoe. And I'm like, who says that?
Also the word hoe.
Yeah, do we still use that?
I know. I was like, I've been out of the game for too long.
Clearly she's on the apps, guys.
I didn't know that there was actually quite like a the way you have to put and design your app.
Oh, so God. And captions.
I have a friend who that I felt overwhelmed when I first was using Hinge, and it's like, here, now say these funny things, and I'm like, yo, I'm not a stand-up fucking comedian, you know? And a friend of mine was like, no, so you got to have this photo and it's got to have a ratio and you got to have photos with friends because it's going to say this. And I was like, there is too much thought that gets put into these things, which is like, why can't we intentionally go out, see someone and be like, hey, want to grab a drink? But that doesn't happen anymore.
But that is the first impression, right? Mm-hmm. What you say in those, what, five images is exactly what you're portraying, and you will be judged on that.
So how soon is too soon to have sex?
Look, it just depends on the chemistry, right? You could go on one date and want to rip his clothes off, and then you do. You're like, fuck, what did I do that for? He'll never call me again.
Right. Is that because you think that you weren't good in bed, or because you just thought you gave it up too easy?
You gave it up too easy.
See, that's what I mean. Sure. Like, what are these nuances? Exactly. We all love...
I think it's the Catholic guilt, just saying. One, for me. But also, you feel judged. As a woman, like, you feel judged. You're like, she's too easy. This isn't going to work out well.
God, that pisses me off. That, like, that thinking of a guy can, go out and have sex every night of the week.
Yeah, you're a stud.
And he's like, it's some superstar ratio. But the woman feels like, okay, hang on a second. He's going to judge me. He's going to think that I'm sleeping around. God forbid, you know, that you possibly want to enjoy yourself and enjoy that pleasurable moment.
How often when you first have sex with someone is it actually satisfying?
Oh, romp. person to ask.
No, because this is also the other funny thing that I find. Like, I have so many heterosexual friends who they're like, oh, yeah, like, we have sex and they come and I don't orgasm. And I'm like, what's that about?
Okay, I'm going to be really open and honest. And I've shared this with you, Nat. And I'm going to share this with everyone. I'm not ashamed of it. Well, it took me a long time to get to this point. But being in my mid-40s, my first orgasm was at 41 and a half.
With someone else or with yourself?
With myself.
What?
Yeah.
You did not share this with me.
I did. Did I not?
No. Look at my face.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is a real surprised voice and face over here. I'm shook.
Yeah. So it took me that long.
Okay. But so let's actually talk about this.
Sure.
This is really interesting. Hmm. So is it because you didn't want to touch yourself? There was like a naughtiness? Why did you never self-pleasure?
I never really kind of was interested in it. I always kept my mind elsewhere rather than that realm of sexuality. And I think part of it is maybe the Catholic guilt and growing up in such a Catholic household, but also none of my siblings had that problem. Why should I?
Oh, like you thought it was a you thing.
I thought it was a me thing. And then I always thought it was a guy thing. If they couldn't do it, then it would never happen.
And you just never, ever had a vibrator, never masturbated?
Ever. And then I went to dinner with a girlfriend of mine that I hadn't seen for a really long time. She's like, you what? Get on the internet right now. You're buying the womanizer. Wow. And then the rest is history. That is the best purchase I've ever had.
What was that experience like for you? Like that?
I didn't know what was happening.
The other thing is that there are so many different ways to orgasm. And like the experience of orgasming can be like me using a vibrator or my hands versus me having amazing sex, like that, they're different experiences. So like for you, like I can't imagine at 41. That's a
Yeah. Wow. I didn't know what was going on. I was just like, I'm not leaving my room until this happens. And I recall having a conversation with a colleague who said to me that she used her toothbrush, a vibrating toothbrush. And she also said to herself, and this was years ago, 15 years ago, she said, I am not leaving my room until this does something for me. And so I had that mindset of, I am not leaving my room until this does something for me. And then sure enough, it did. And I was like, whoa, I've been missing out on this.
So when you were having sex up until that time, what were you experiencing?
It was my mind would get the better of me. It was this constant thought of when is it going to happen. So I was never in the moment.
Right.
Does this also go back to, you know, he said foreplay is so important.
So important.
Because you just had never
There had come. To be a story. Yeah, there had to be some kind of a an story.
Orgasm. To make it exciting.
To make it exciting. To make it
feel like sex for you.
Yeah.
Do you both find as women that to orgasm you kind of have to feel a sense of like safety?
Yes.
Not it doesn't have to be physical safety, like someone's harming you, but as in like that, like you can let go.
Yes.
Definitely. Like safety, I think is, you just want to feel safe because you're at your most vulnerable for me. I mean, I personally, being naked, being this idea of good in bed, understanding, you know, rhythms and the other person, you know,
and there's so much to think of.
Yeah. And some guys, you know, they don't like to be touched too much because they can't control themselves and you don't want to make them feel like, you know, too much and vice versa. But when you find the right rhythm, it's great. It doesn't always happen on that first time you sleep with them either, because it can be awkward. You're figuring each other out a little bit. It can be hilarious. It can be fun. It can be all the things, you know, but safety, I think is, definitely.
But that was my problem with, I was in my mind the whole time. I was just like, if they don't think I'm having a great time, then they're going to reject me for not having a great time. And it would be the end of the relationship.
Wait,
it would
so you, be just, you kind of rejected yourself.
Yeah. So I thought if I wasn't going to put on an act, and I could never put on an act because it's just not the way I roll.
I was like, so you've never faked an orgasm?
Never. Which is why the one night stand thing would, for me, never worked, because there was nothing in it for me. Mm. You know, there was no storytelling. There was no intimacy. There was no
connection.
Nurturing. There was no connection. There was no safety. There was just sex, and that was all it was. So, you know, that said, it's for me, all those years, it was like me having to please them because they couldn't please me. So it was always about them.
Interesting.
So it became boring. So for me, it was just an act of sex. It was nothing more.
Yeah.
But now I look things a different light. But mind you, it's still the toy. Nobody else.
Oh, so you've never had someone make
still.
You? So not a single person that you've ever slept with has made you orgasm?
No.
Have you brought the toy into the sexual equation?
The awkwardness. Can't.
Yeah.
I freeze. My body just has this, you're on stage. Can't do it.
It's so interesting because you are such a vivacious, confident person. But clearly when you are in the bedroom, there's a
this. It's the nun comes out.
Yeah.
The habit.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
What about you? Do you think first date sex is like is there a right amount of time? Like, you know, you're obviously asking us as heterosexuals.
I don't think that there is, but I don't think that women are so quick to just be like, yeah, let's have sex.
Yeah.
I haven't had that experience. Well, okay, I should say I've had it once or like not really. Like I've never really had that experience. And being where I'm at now with who I am now as a woman, I would not think less of a woman, et cetera, or anything like that. But I also like, for me, I was having this conversation recently about, I think I sometimes in sex that can be an objective, whereas I look at sex like a dance. So it doesn't have to end. It's more like, how are we dancing together? And then, someone orgasms at some point. But I'm not trying to get somewhere with someone. I'm trying to enjoy the entire experience. And like, I really get a lot of pleasure from pleasuring. And so I'm not always so dissatisfied, et cetera, if the focus isn't on me, which probably also is something for myself to look at through therapy, et cetera. Like, hey, why can't I have the attention? I have had one person in my life who I have had remarkable chemistry and sex with, and I felt like I could relax into that. And it really changed me in a really wonderful way in the way I am in bed now. So I do look back on that and I'm like, also you have these different experiences along the way and then all of a sudden you're just entirely different, like your expectations are different too. Because I felt like I could really just relax and like they had as much pleasuring me as I usually get from like vice versa. So it felt really nice.
I think it's that relaxation aspect. I think once you can relax into yourself in that moment, it changes you completely. Like you don't have to be something or be a certain way for something, and it's not about this end goal of like, oh, I have to orgasm every time, otherwise it's really bad, or it's, you know, it's not so definitive. I think I've always grown up thinking sex is so definitive because, like, I mean, for a good, you know, chunk of my life I didn't believe in sex before marriage.
Thank God you don't think about that anymore.
Me too. But then that's when I dated someone older and that wasn't going to be the case because they're older.
Yeah, but so I thought I could change them.
As in you really thought like, oh, you'll date someone and then all of a sudden they won't have sex before marriage too?
No, I just thought they won't push me to have sex with them. I went in all doughy-eyed. I was like, I'm dating someone who's older. I mean, my initial sort of relationship barriers was like dating older was a lot better for me, for whatever reason. I mean, I'm sure therapy will unpack that for me in years to come. But I've always, gravitated to older men. And when I first started dating my first boyfriend, he was 11 years older than me. And I was pretty adamant. I was no sex before marriage. That was just very important to me at the time. I mean, to his credit, he really respected it. He was never forceful or negative about it, but it was hard. We had some hard conversations about sex and that sort of stuff early on that I don't think I was equipped for because I wasn't having sex in my brain and now I had to have discussions about sex and I was like, well, this isn't, you know, what I had expected and I didn't even know how I felt about it. I mean, I didn't have a vibrator in my teens. I wasn't, you know, I didn't understand my body. There was a lot.
So how young were you both when you first started kind of having any kind of sexual experience?
So my partner was 15, 16 years older than me. That was my first.
No, but as in even when you were like a teenager, et cetera. Or like just nothing?
Started at 19. That was it. With an older guy. Yeah.
Interesting.
So I too had the same thought of
you not going to have people before then though.
Yeah.
At 16 at school, you know, but do you even count that?
That's like same.
Yeah, right.
That's like definitely was just kissing.
Do you know what I've realized? This is my experience that I think that if I had a first slept with a man, I would have been like, oh, okay. And I probably, because everyone is always like, oh, but have you slept with a man? As if like there's a wonder dick out there that's going to like, you know, fuck me straight. And I honestly think that if I had a first slept with a man, I'd been like, oh, okay, I guess this is what everybody talks about. Whereas I had already slept with women and had really wonderful sex, pleasure, orgasms, that then when I slept with a man, I was like, that's it. Like, you know, I was like, that's all we got kind of thing. And I don't think it's because I'm attracted to women or anything like that. There is just a hugely, because I've also had enjoyable sex with men, but like, I think that the bar had just been set so high that I was like, oh, so now when I do speak to friends who are like, yeah, I'm having okay sex, I'm like, yeah, I get it. I get it. Like if a guy isn't really there and attentive to your pleasure, I get how he can be satisfied and think it was a good time and you're left kind of longing.
All the time. Yeah, well, that's my experiences. But also being a people pleaser, you always want to make sure that they're okay. But then you're left with nothing.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, I guess I often think because maybe I wasn't so sexually charged or experienced in my teens, that maybe you just become resolute a little bit with not, you know, like you said, you're like at 19. I was 19 as well. And I feel like, okay, maybe you're just a little bit more resolute with what you think, like who you are in the bedroom or like your, like I never had the sex talk. I never spoke about sex with my friends at all. Definitely not my mother.
Yeah. See, whereas my mother was really like not open in terms of we're having huge sex chats, but the body and just I guess sexualness. I don't know a better word to describe this, but it wasn't ever like a real hidden, naughty, bad thing. Which I think I look back on and I'm probably pretty grateful for.
Yeah. See, I don't think it was naughty for, you know.
Whereas my dad used to be like, cover up your boobs.
Thanks, Dad.
It's true. It's why I never wear super revealing clothing. Because all throughout my childhood, I was really young with really big boobs. And he'd be like, cover up. So I never like flaunt my body.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And I think as I've gotten older and had more conversations about, you know, relationships and sex with my friends and my family, like I think there is this like not taboo, but just having more conversations about sex, especially with people that have come out of relationships and who are trying to like enter the dating scene again. I think there's like a whole thing that we need to relearn about ourselves and then go back in terms of dating. So like, for example, you know, I've got friends at very different walks of life and, you know, whether they be married, whether they come out of relationships, come out of marriages, and then it's that next stage of like exploration again with someone and sexually. And more often than not, the question I often hear is, am I going to be good enough in bed? Like, do I know how to have sex after a long relationship? Because you come out going, was that good enough? I have no idea.
Yeah,
too many expectations. I always get the, I'm going to be the first one to do it for you. I'm like, oh, take a ticket.
so you tell every very guy, open. Okay, wow.
Very open about it.
But is that because you're setting the stage?
Kind of. Like, I just don't want them to be disappointed.
Because I had someone say that where they were like, oh, like, don't worry, I'm a bit drunk. I don't really orgasm. And I was like, okay. And then they did. And it's like, do you just set the stage to kind of, so you're building up your own expectations?
I kind of just don't want them to, again, I don't want them to be disappointed.
Yeah, so it's all about them.
It's all about them. And I don't know when I'm going to turn this around and make it about me, but
44.
Maybe. Cool. I've got just under a year.
Couple of free therapy sessions on the way.
I don't know. I have yet to find a good therapist to help me in that kind of department. But it's definitely always been around about them. And it's you know, it's debilitating. As a woman, you hear so many stories of women that just talk about orgasms like I don't know, like it's just so liberating for them. And then I hear all these stories, I'm like, oh yeah, I can't relate. You know,
I know someone who's multi-orgasmic, and it just seems like a different world. You know, like the idea, like I'm like one or two. This person can do like 10 to 12, and I'm like, damn.
Jealous. Oh,
what? They stole everyone else's.
Yeah, exactly. They're actually just pinching yours right now. Oh, self-regulate. We've got to really distribute these across women.
Don't be so selfish. Tell them to be so selfish. Bring some over here. Honestly, this is not fair. But anyway, look, things can turn around. Who knows? The next one, I may not have to say take a ticket.
Yeah, I think all of this is like just a huge exploration, and like who you are now versus who you're at 20 versus who you'll be at 45. Like I said to someone the other day, I go, I wonder what I'll be like at 35. You know, with like my last 2 years and how I can be like night and day as a human being. I'm like, wow, like what does 35 look like?
Yeah, when I look back at 30 and now 35, I'm like a completely different person in terms of what's happening in my life, what's important to me, what my energy is actually saying about me.
All right. So to finish this up, I would love you to pull one more card. We'll all answer and then...
Hope for the best.
So many sexual questions. One thing I do to make sex more interesting. Well, I'm out. For now, I'm out. Maybe the next talk, I'll be back in. But the womanizer is definitely my best friend at this point in time.
I think you should bring the womanizer into the bedroom.
I was just going to say, I think that is maybe what you should be doing.
I think you should take off the nun outfit, bring the womanizer into the bedroom, and you might have your best time yet.
We'll see. We'll see. Depends how comfortable, you know, with this whole thing about being comfortable, right?
Yeah, exactly. Natalie?
One thing I do to make sex more interesting, I don't say no to anything anymore.
Ooh.
Yeah.
She's like, everyone sit on that for a little bit.
Yes. I'll take that in.
One thing I do to make sex more interesting, I think less about myself and what I look like and who I am sexually in those experiences. So I think that is something that I'm doing. It's like a therapy session. No. So like when I go into sex and I'm thinking about, like I'm overthinking it, and when I don't think about it, and
like
I just
the actual act or your body or like, what do you mean?
All the elements. Like, what does the lighting look like? What am I wearing? What is this? The less I think about that, the more interesting I am sexually.
Oh, yeah. People who only want to have sex with the lights off, I'm like, sorry, what? Like, yeah. It is such a beautiful thing to watch a woman's body. And I'm like, why do I
have
want
the lights on? Be free. Yeah. Have the windows open. Like let everyone know.
I feel like women need to just be like, actually. So here's one thing I feel I have experienced. Like women in their 20s having sex, it's all a bit insecure because you're kind of going, oh, like, am I good enough? Do I look good enough? How's my body? Women in their 30s, they start to be like, I like myself. Like, I'm pretty good. I'm confident. Women in their 40s are like, hey, this is who I am. I love who I am. I'm sexy as fuck. You take me or you leave me, I don't care because I'm still good. And I feel like there's like a more of a freedom as women get older.
Totally.
Can't wait to see you at 40.
Oh, holy moly.
That's amazing. That is actually amazing.
Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
Woo-woo.
Thank you for listening to The Modern Women. Like, subscribe, leave us a review, and be sure to share this episode with the other incredible women in your life.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
Well, something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in
opinions.
We do that in every episode too.
We're professional unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.